last week, the Assembly Republican Conference, fed up with Governor Andrew Cuomo's handling of the pandemic, announced they were crafting a resolution establishing a joint legislative committee to investigate the state's response to the spread of COVID-19 in nursing homes, where more than 13,000 fatalities linked to the novel coronavirus have occurred, based on newly released state data. The committee would also be tasked with potentially recommending whether the legislature should impeach the governor. To discuss this proposal, we're joined by Assembly Minority Leader Will Barclay, a Central New York Republican. Welcome back to the show, Leader.
Thanks for having me on.
If this temporary committee was created, who would be on it, and how do you envision it working?
Yeah, so let me just one correct. The committee is really looking at the cover-up, the potential cover-up of the nursing home information fatality and whether there are any crimes committed as a result of that cover-up. Although we do agree that there's been a lot of mishandling on the pandemic, that isn't necessarily what the purpose of this committee is. But it's based on that 1913, when the last time we impeached a governor, that before they impeached Sulzer's, I think was the governor Sulzer, was the governor, they put up together a similar, it was called the Frawley Commission, and they put together a similar type committee. Ours is a little different. Ours is completely bipartisan with eight members, each one being appointed by, or two of each being appointed by the legislative leaders. And they would have two co-chairs, Republican and Democrat, and they would be able to do subpoena power. And then we'd give them 60 days, essentially, to look into this issue, to determine whether there was any crimes or any criminal activity that raised the level of an impeachable offense, and then they would report, as you said, they would report back to the legislature.
Mentioning that impeachment power, from your perspective, what sort of conduct would warrant impeachment when it comes to the disclosure of nursing home data?
Yeah, so I don't know, and I don't want to prejudge whatever the committee might find, but there's certainly some crimes that come to mind, although I'm not, you know, an expert on criminal law, but, you know, you think obstruction of justice, maybe abuse of power, tampering with public records. I mean, as you know, this whole thing started, we always were suspicious that the information we were getting from the governor's office wasn't forthcoming or wasn't the complete picture. And then obviously you had two things going on at one time. You had the Empire Center doing their FOIL request to get the fuller picture. And then you had the bombshell AG report from a Democratic AG coming out and saying that the governor's office was underreporting nursing home fatalities by up to 50%. And then on top of that, you had the top aide to the governor say in a private closed-door political meeting that, yeah, they were withholding information because they were worried about the Department of Justice investigation. They're worried about the political fallout. So all that seems to give us some sort of roadmap that maybe there was some wrongdoing here, and we think there's sufficient enough evidence that it merits further investigation by this commission.
Rehashing this timeline you just walked me through, during it, the administration had maintained that the reason they didn't have a more comprehensive accounting of nursing home fatalities was that they were trying to do an audit to analyze the situation and ensure that they had the most accurate numbers. And even to this day, you know, there's still a little bit of discrepancy surrounding, you know, presumed nursing home deaths, as that area still needs to be further investigated by the administration, they say, in order to have an accurate accounting there. You know, if it turns out that this is just the case, though, where they, you know, didn't have a full accounting of the numbers until February, is there anything wrong with that?
Well, I think that goes contrary to even what we know. It certainly doesn't mesh with what Melissa DeRosa was saying in her statements in a closed-door meeting. I don't think she ever expected that to become public.
And but, then she wasn't referring, though, to the nursing home fatality numbers and just by itself. She was also referring, you know, more broadly, I think, based on the transcript, to the 17 different questions that had been submitted to them by the Democratic lawmakers.
Right. But a couple of things. First of all, we're not asking for this information, you know, for a few days. This is a long term. We've been requesting this all the way back since August. Mm-hmm. And the Empire Center had a FOIL request. I think, you know, they actually started litigation around that time. So it does seem a little strange. And my understanding is also every other state's been able to report this. Why is New York unable to report it? And so I think there's certainly a lot of questions out there. They have 5,000 people apparently work for the Department of Health. It seems a little strange they couldn't put some people on this to get that information to the legislature quicker than it is, to the public and to public interest groups, too. I mean, it's not just the legislature that's requesting this information.
In order for your resolution to be adopted, you'll need to get Democratic votes. What sort of support, if any, have you already secured from your colleagues across the aisle?
Well, it's a little premature as we speak now because we didn't request any reply to this until this week, Wednesday, which is February 24th. Mm-hmm. So we haven't heard anything back, but I haven't even polled the Republicans on this either, although I assume our conference is all in agreement with it. So we're happy to keep everybody updated. I will say that a number of members in the Assembly on the other side of the aisle have indicated that they thought there is criminality here. In fact, Ron Kim, when he sent around a memo to look for people to sign on to a bill that would revoke the governor's executive powers, in that memo referred to a federal statute of obstruction of justice and claiming that the governor violated that statute. So I'm optimistic that there are people that on the other side of the aisle that are willing to join us, and we'll keep working this and hopefully get with the majority. And we're open to, you know, suggestions, maybe the timeline for this commission's, you know, not long enough or too short or whatever. So we're happy to work with anybody who wants to work with us. And we think, again, we're not trying to prejudge everything. Obviously, we don't know all the facts here. And that's why it's so, I think, appropriate to have a commission that has subpoena power to try to get to the bottom of this and really find out, was there any wrongdoing? And is that wrongdoing, again, rise to the level of impeachable offense?
We're speaking with Assembly Minority Leader Will Barclay, who is advancing a resolution that would create a bipartisan committee to evaluate the release of nursing home data by the Cuomo administration and to potentially decide whether or not to recommend impeaching the governor based on his administration's handling of that data. In terms of the mechanics of this resolution, you know, getting in the weeds a little bit, how do you imagine this will come up? Is this going to have to come as a sort of a hostile amendment, considering that Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie really controls the flow of legislation in the chamber and likely won't be, you know, willing to be very helpful in terms of advancing this proposal?
Yeah, we'll have to look at those ins and outs of exactly how to get it, but I'm not giving up hope that we can't do this in a bipartisan way and have the speaker's support and the majority leader's support. After all, there is a basis, there is precedence for this. It is bipartisan. And it's not making any judgments before the committee puts together. So we'll see how we have to do. If we somehow keep hitting a roadblock that way, we will try various different procedural ways and maybe try to get it onto the floor for a vote. But I don't think we're at that stage, and I haven't given up. Maybe I'm optimistic, but I haven't given up hope that this could be done through the normal channels.
Do you think there should be a similar entity set up at the federal level to look into President Donald Trump's handling of the pandemic, especially the recent revelations that came out in the fall in Bob Woodward's book about him purposely downplaying the significance of the novel coronavirus?
You know, possibly. I'm not on the federal level. I'm at the state level, so I'm not as familiar with that circumstance. So the one thing I will mention with the Capitol riots, one of the things the majority in the House did not do was hold a hearing. And I think if they held a hearing and did some investigation before pushing those articles of impeachment, they may have had a stronger case when it got to the Senate. Maybe not, but that's one thing where I differ. They made a lot of presumptions in their impeachment, where we're trying not to make those presumptions or judgments and trying not to get ahead of this commission.
We recently spoke with Bill Hammond, Senior Fellow for Health Policy at the conservative-leaning Empire Center for Public Policy. And he says we should be doing a very broad sort of nonpartisan analysis of the state's pandemic response. The temporary committee you and I have been talking about has a very narrow focus. Would you be supportive of something like that, I guess, in the future or in lieu of this type of committee?
Two different things, yeah. But I wouldn't say in lieu of, but I definitely would be in supportive of doing it. We certainly have a lot of questions out there of how this pandemic was managed in New York State. Certainly the governor had a narrative out there that he was providing great leadership for this pandemic. He obviously had press conferences every day. He won an Emmy. He found time among all this, you know, things going on. He had found time to write a book on leadership. And as we see things coming out, we see that maybe this story isn't as good as the governor was painting it to be. And putting the nursing home aside, you know, New York's second in fatalities from COVID next to California, and just slightly behind California, which has maybe twice as much population as New York State. And when you look at it on a per capita basis for fatalities with COVID, New York's number two, right behind New Jersey. So, you know, there's, I think, a lot of questions whether these lockdowns, shutdowns, some of these executive orders, whether it's indoor dining, whether it's, you know, restrictions on religious services, et cetera, really did what the governor claimed they do as far as, you know, limiting the spread of COVID or flattening the curve or whatever you want to call it. So I think there's a very lot of very good questions that need to be investigated and need to be answered, because hopefully maybe we're getting through this pandemic, but who knows what the future is going to bring. And I don't think anybody, Democrat, Republican, whoever, don't want to repeat kind of what we did this year or last year.
A report from the state attorney general about the reporting of deaths in nursing homes, which is cited in your proposed resolution, makes the case that nursing homes, especially privately run facilities, have had underlying problems dating back before the pandemic and calls for minimum staffing levels in these facilities. Do you think we should have minimum levels of staffing? And do you think these facilities need a significant overhaul?
I think everything needs to be on the table. So I have not opined on any of these pieces of legislation in the context of what we've had with this pandemic. So that's why I was calling for, it seems like we need to have an investigation, find out what happened, and find out what's the best course of action to prevent it from happening again. And I've been calling on the health committee in the assembly or the aging committee or even the government oversight committee to hold hearings. And let's get to the bottom. Let's find out exactly what happens. When you don't have all the information, it's hard to craft public policy. And those committees have the ability right now. They don't need, you know, a new commission to be set up. They could subpoena and call in the commissioner of health. Let's find out what happened. And, you know, if it's safe staffing or something else that we all can feel that would, you know, prevent something, this tragedy, from happening again, then I think most of us would all be for that.
Scrolling Twitter on Monday afternoon, I was struck by these images I saw of a press conference that you and Senate Republican leader Robert Ort convened in the Capitol, which had more than, you know, 20 lawmakers masked, but gathered in very close proximity together. And I'm curious, why do you think that was a good idea?
Why we held it in person versus by Zoom?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, it's one to get our message out. And any way we can get a message out, and obviously doing it with a group rather individually, I think is more powerful. And clearly it was. Interestingly, we had a lot of press there, and they were right next to each other, too. We're trying to do everything that's safe. We obviously don't want to put anyone in danger. Everybody was masked. Most people, for instance, myself, I've had COVID. Most people have been tested negative. So I don't think it was a high risk type of circumstance where, you know, there's a high risk of the spread of COVID because of that in person.
Yeah, you mentioned the reporters who assembled to cover it. Do you have any reservations about, you know, convening an event that they almost, you know, by necessity are forced to go cover because that's their job?
Do I have concerns about them covering it?
I mean, I guess you're kind of forcing them to cover something that they could also, you know, do remotely if you guys, you know, had that Zoom option.
Also, yeah, well, I suppose, or they could always talk to me individually afterwards. You know, interesting, we're not the only ones that did in person. The governor used to do in-person press conferences. In fact,
with a much different setup, though, to be fair.
Well, to be fair, but I mean, I'm, again, everybody, most people there have been tested. A lot of people had the COVID. I think we're all wearing masks. The threat of COVID during that press conference was not, I don't think, an overly big concern by either. I can't speak for the press, but I know for our members who were there.
Well, unfortunately,
and it wasn't mandatory for our members either.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. We've been speaking with Assembly Minority Leader Will Barkley. Assembly Member, thank you so much for walking me through all this. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Good talking to you, Dave. Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.